This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Joining us now to preview the Celtics-Indiana Pacers series is our pal Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, good afternoon, man. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. And you know what, Christian? Why don't we start with the headline on Gary's column? Because there is that great question right there.
Yeah, so Gary, we just read your article this morning and curious. The headline reads, "The Celtics are favorites to win the NBA title. Can they avoid beating themselves?" And what does beating themselves look like to you?
Lackadaisical play, coming in, taking the opponent lightly, losing games they should win, losing too much at home, going through those stretches where they play ISO ball, just all the bad habits that they've had over the last few years that they've really cleaned up over this season, and will those things come back? And will they slip? Will they lose a game like tonight, or lose game two at home and make it hard on themselves? I think everyone agrees that the Celtics have the most talent of any team left in the tournament, but can the Celtics just play to their capabilities at all times and get that championship?
Yeah, so there you posed the question, but I was wondering if you would answer it. Can they? Can they play to their potential? Can they play to their abilities? Or do you think they're susceptible to just taking this team lightly?
I think they can. Yeah, I think they're capable. I think they've understand through past experience, past pains, past setbacks, past failures that, you know, they have to play 100% at all times. And this is the year to get it done. Denver's out. Philadelphia's out. Miami's out. Milwaukee's out. You have some unproven teams left. Indiana, obviously. Dallas, who hasn't won in 13 years. Minnesota's never won anything. and they weren't expected to be here. So the tournament is laid out for you. Now, can the Celtics, and I think they will, play to their capability? Not saying they're going to go undefeated, not saying they're never going to lose at home, but play to their capability every night and win two more series.
Gary Washburn of the Globe, Gresh and Fourier, talking about the Celtics and the Pacers. The series starts tonight. Gary, one of the things I'm more fascinated by is how will the Celtics choose to play? Will they get up and down with Indiana every once in a while? Does Joe Mazzulla have to control that? Through your eyes, how are you expecting the pace of the game, at least tonight anyway, and then everybody makes their adjustments?
Yeah, I think fast, but not out of control. The Celtics cannot get into a we can score more than you and neither of us is going to defend game. That's what Indiana wants to get into. Indiana is not a good defensive team. The Celtics are. They have to show that. They have to not let Indiana jump out to a big lead, not let Indiana get a bunch of open threes. They just have to play their game. And they're capable of going bucket to bucket with the Pacers, but you don't want to do that. You want to have a semblance of control. You want to have a slower tempo, not out of control tempo, a little bit slower than that. But the Celtics, when they move the ball, when they get the ball up the floor, when they play fast, they're a better team. You don't want a bunch of ISO possessions, but you do want situations where you can get stops and not have to always take the ball out of the net. And you do want situations where you can get easy buckets, easy twos, attack the rim, get slam dunks, you know, not always taking threes.
Gary, Indiana can score in bunches, and we know they can score quick. Conversely, we talked about how the Celtics kind of shoot themselves in the foot. Is there enough respect there from the Celtics in terms of Indiana's ability to score quick that maybe we don't get those kind of third and fourth quarter lulls? Will there be the appropriate level of respect paid to the Pacers, or is that something maybe we really can't put our finger on until we see them play?
I would think so, Gresh, because they played five times this year, and a lot of times they played a lot in the early season, and obviously Indiana beat them twice, so and then including that in-season tournament game in Indiana. So the Celtics should have enough respect for the Pacers, and I think the Pacers are a team that they probably said, you know what, we're probably going to see in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if they thought the conference finals, but they probably thought to themselves, we're probably going to see that team down the road, and we need to figure out how to prepare for their offense because they are an unusual team. You know, they play like no other team in the NBA. They play, you know, fast, 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 and defense is not an emphasis. And you can see when they shoot 67% against the Knicks in Game 7, they can overwhelm teams. So I think the Celtics have had the Pacers in their rearview mirror, and in the back of their minds for the last several months, considering the clashes they had this year.
So we're talking to Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. And Gary, off that, I'm just curious if you've seen because I'm thinking about it as a player, like, all right, listen, how do we, and a coach, how do I prep my team for that pace? You know, for all the little things that the Pacers do well that, you know, maybe teams can adjust to. Have you seen anything different in practice with Mazzulla, some of the different things that he may have tried to do to kind of, you know, drive that message home to defend these guys?
Well, Christian, I think it's more just like get back on defense. Don't argue with officials. Don't look at, you know, like the half second you take to bark about a call, Indiana's getting the ball down the floor. And that's the stuff you cannot do. You cannot allow yourself to get caught in the emotions of the game and let Indiana get the ball quickly up the floor. I don't know if you can practice that besides just preaching that. I mean, yeah, you can, you know, tell the guys not to argue with officials in practice or whatever you want to do there. But I just think that has to be told to them, hey, guys, like, none of this, we cannot rest here. We cannot be a step slow back on defense. We've got to rebound the ball. We can't let them dominate the boards. Just the little things, you know, they can't have extra possessions. You can't, you know, you got to guard the three-point line. You can't let certain guys have open threes. I'm sure there's a list of guys that they're like, okay, yeah, you can shoot. Go ahead. But there's guys like Halliburton, you know, guys like maybe even an Esmith that you're like, okay, we need to get out there and get him. And so those just attention to details is what's going to be important in this series.
The Tony Brothers effect tonight. Is it a Tony Brothers thing? Is it a Jason Tatum bitches about every call thing? Like, I feel like in particular, Tony Brothers has been, I'll steal a line from Marv Levy, an over-officious jerk at times, Gary. How do we rationalize Tony Brothers being a part of this series?
Yeah, you have to understand every official has his own personality. You know, Tony's a guy who is going to make some interesting calls. You just got to get used to it. The Celtics cannot, Gresh, allow the officiating to have any determination on this series. Just get back on D. You know, you're going to get your calls. Like, don't let the officials be a factor here. And so it shouldn't matter who's officiating these games. You know, just, you know, keep your head up. Get back on defense. Do not argue. Do not get caught up in some of the gamesmanship. Don't get caught up in some of the things that might not go your way. just get back and do what you're supposed to do, and I think everybody will take care of itself. I'm not concerned personally with Tony Brothers or Scott Foster or Billy Kennedy or Mark Davis. I mean, you know, those guys can have an impact on the game, but you can't worry about that.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're talking to Gary Washburn again from the Boston Globe. And if you're, you know, the whole X factor guy, like there's the stars, there's the guys with the, you know, highest points per game. You know, is there a guy on the Pacers that you would say, okay, he has the opportunity to have a sneaky good impact on this game?
You know, you could point to Aaron Nesmith, the former Celtics, who's going to play with a chip on his shoulder, you know. Yeah, he did not like being traded from, you know, obviously he's happy now. He's got a contract in Indiana, and he's found a new home, and he's become a much better player. But obviously just showing your old team they shouldn't have moved you. So he's going to be play with a chip on his shoulder. A guy like Obi Toppin, who can hit some threes from the perimeter, and obviously extremely athletic. There's a few guys Indiana has, and the guy that I always point to is T.J. McConnell, man. That guy is a pest. He can drive you crazy, get those steals, change the tone of the game with his energy, you know. And, you know, the Celtics are going to have to match it. They're going to have to be careful of T.J. McConnell because he can obviously get, you know, start a 9-0 run or an 11-0 run, especially when they get to Indiana with his energy, you know, covering 94 feet, getting a steal in the backcourt, you know, getting a rebound and pushing the ball. You know, that's the stuff that the Celtics are going to have to look out for. And they know this team well enough to know all these guys and what they do. So any slippage is just lack of attention to the game plan.
Gary, I this is a bit of a off of the beaten path question here, but I know the NBA is in their formal negotiating TV rights for the future. Now, some of that or a lot of it might already be done. However, the NBA's ratings have been pretty good with no LeBron, no Giannis, no Steph, no KD. How big is the next month for the NBA just in terms of the look at our new superstars, look at the guys that are going to carry the mantle? If you're in the NBA league offices, are you kind of sneaky hoping you end up setting some ratings records to kind of prove your point that you don't need all those old stars to keep getting ratings?
Yeah, I do think it's important for the league that Boston makes the finals. I think Indiana and anybody in the finals is not going to be a ratings bonanza. So I do think they would like, you know, without having any influence on the series, they would love for the Boston Celtics to make the finals. I think them against Dallas or them against Minnesota is an intriguing matchup. But I do think it's an opportunity for the league's new stars to show with Anthony Edwards, you know, with Jason Tatum. And these guys aren't new, but they're the ones that are the generation after the Stephs and the LeBrons. You know, we all know about Luka, you know, but what will Luka be like on the biggest stage? You know, what will Kyrie Irving when he comes back to the biggest stage for the first time in 7-8 years? So those are the storylines, and it's been a compelling playoffs. And I do think the league has kind of taken a step forward from the Durants, and I mean, those guys are all in their mid-30s now. I mean, the league should have an alternate plan. They should have a second plan after those guys kind of get up there, which they are, to showcase some of the greats that are currently playing. And, you know, now you got guys like Wembanyama who's going to come in coming years. And there's a bunch of guys who are just waiting their turn. So I think the league is in good hands, and I do think it's an opportunity for new stars to emerge here.
Gary, last thing from me. Fourier and I have gone back and forth on who we want to see in the NBA Finals. Christian leans Minnesota for the obvious storylines with Anthony Edwards. I want family business settled with Kyrie Irving. I'm going to ask Gary Washburn to take off the journalist hat. Who would you like to see the Celtics face if they get there in the NBA Finals from just a mere interest standpoint?
Well, I think Dallas would be obviously interesting because of Luka and because of Kyrie. You know, I do think that would be an intriguing series. But Minnesota's a fun team, man. I mean, Minnesota's it's a market that hasn't had any success in terms of, you know, basketball since the Timberwolves were created in 1989. So I think both would be interesting. But I think, obviously, with the better storylines would be, you know, facing Kyrie and after his, rather forgettable stint in Boston. And Luka, and just the worldwide star he is, and the other guys on that team that have played well and have come together, and the coach. So yeah, I think Dallas would probably be a better, more compelling matchup, I'd say.
Okay, all right. Well, last one for me. I'm curious if you paid devoted any time to watch Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, and what your basketball, you know, trained mind is telling you about that system.
Yeah, I watched for the first time. I watched some of the game last night. I think she'll be fine. I just think the WNBA, you know, you got to adjust. The WNBA is a hard league for rookies, and you have a lot of veterans there who are targeting her and going to make it hard on her. It's not going to be easy for her. And I think it's kind of a transition period for the league in terms of, it's getting all the exposure and a lot of the endorsements and a lot of the attention that it wants. But the question is, well, you know, why does Caitlin Clark get all this attention and past players or current superstars aren't? And sometimes it's just the way it is in professional sports. They're just players who get more attention than others. And I think the WNBA is understandably a league that wants more attention, and it should get more attention because it's a fun league to watch. And sometimes you just can't ask why. You just got to embrace the increase in attention and ratings and the new fans that are just getting to know some of these players.
You think it lasts? You think the hysteria and the excitement last with Clark?
As long as if Indiana continues, it has success eventually. Over the, not maybe this season, but the next couple of seasons, if she brings, you got players like coming in, you know, Paige Rutgers coming in from UConn. You're going to have more players. Juju Watkins eventually is going to come into the league. So you're going to have more star power coming. There's plenty of star power coming that's on the horizon. So I do think it continues after Caitlin Clark.
Gary, right. Very kind to give us 15 minutes, friend. We appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Enjoy the hell out of the series. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
There goes Gary Washburn of the Globe. Great breakdown.